Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this dang near NFL draft eve?
I'm fantastic because the draft is on Thursday, but technically today is my Thursday because tomorrow's my Friday and I get to go on my little staycation and I'm off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Then I go back to work on Wednesday because I'm being weird about it. And then I have off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I can't wait. We're going to be watching the draft together. Maybe not. I don't think we'll be together day one, which is fine. We'll be chatting, I'm sure, nonstop. But then we'll be together day two. Maybe we go live for a little bit. Maybe we just talk with people online. Who knows what we'll do. But I'm super excited. I'm great. I'm excited. James, how are you?
Man, I'm good. It's like basically Christmas at this point. Anticipation is really building up on what is Pittsburgh going to do? What are these last few puzzle pieces that get put in place right before the draft? We've got answers for a lot of things. And maybe our best guess as to what Pittsburgh might do or what we think they might do or what one scenario could play out.
Yeah. A lot more things did happen. Before we get into the Steelers news, real quick, make sure you guys, if you haven't already, go to all the social medias, follow us and like things on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. It's just a way to be watching our stuff. My man here drinking a Red Bull when I bought him one earlier. He ain't even drinking the one I bought for him. What the heck?
I got to drink yellow on the Steelers podcast.
That's,
you know this.
That's fine. Listen, the blue's in the logo too. That's all I got to say.
To keep me from falling asleep behind a wheel tomorrow. So we're
there
good.
You go. Oh yeah, you got to. Okay. Anyways, back to Steelers news. Important news moving forward, looking at the draft specifically. When you look at depth chart, depth pieces and stuff like that. Steelers did claim former Ravens third round draft pick in 2019 wide receiver Miles Boykins off the waiver wire, which is huge. Speaking of huge, he's 6'4", 220 pounds. He did run a 4.42, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And had
a 43 inch vertical leap at his combine in 2019, just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So you know that athleticism has not left him. It's a deep play specialist. This is a guy that wins in contested catches and deep balls. Not a real nuanced receiver at all. This is not going to be like a slot option for us, most likely. But definitely a field stretcher. And he's on his rookie deal still.
Yeah. I feel like this is important to rival Claypool specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had Claypool have some drops last year and stuff like that. And this is to say, hey, Claypool, if you can't do it, we'll find someone who can.
And ironically, both of these receivers from Notre Dame, 1 year apart in the NFL draft and very similar in size and speed.
Very interesting.
So they were college teammates too.
Yeah. That's really cool. They get to play together.
Yeah,
again.
Isn't it? Neat how things come full circle like that sometimes, you know. Yeah. But lots of potential. And honestly, I think just the Ravens passing offense was just built for throwing it to the tight ends and for dumping it off to running backs. Not a very sophisticated passing offense. Not that Pittsburgh is the most sophisticated passing offense, but we do have a habit of developing wide receivers here. So this is just another guy that they get a shot at trying to develop. If they pull it off, then maybe you extend them. If not, you know, then you let them go into free agency next year. But it's also another guy going into the last year of his deal.
Yep.
With Pittsburgh knowing that they weren't going to get anything compensatory-wise next year based off of this year's offseason, this does put somebody into the pipeline that if he has a big year and they don't retain him and somebody else pays him big bucks, helps out the compensatory formula. So very minimal cost and next to nothing as far as risk. Doesn't necessarily guarantee he's going to make the team, but I would say that he's probably on the inside right now.
Yeah. We also had an assistant quarterback coach that was hired. James, do you have any information on this guy?
Yeah, David Corley been around the NFL for a number of years now. I want to say about 10 years. He's been here and there on teams doing internships, that sort of thing. Not a lot of official positions on teams, but he has some experience as like running back coach. So there's definitely some experience going on there. And we'll see what happens. But it just another coach in the room is always a good sign. So we'll take, honestly, Pittsburgh has one of the lower numbered staff as far as how many coaches and assistant coaches they have on their team versus others. So the more people they bring in, the better, in my opinion. I don't even care if he has a huge, awesome resume. You can teach him. There's plenty of guys around there that are extremely knowledgeable in that coaching staff.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Something I'm excited for, James, that we've gotten to talk about together and also excited to talk about here on the podcast, training camp. Yeah. Training camp is going to be held in Latrobe again for 2022 training camp in the offseason and the preseason workouts, basically, is what they are. So super excited for that because this means we are more than likely making another drive down there. And I've only been there once.
Yeah, it's happening.
Well, was that your first time too? Was that your first time too when we went? I don't remember.
No, sir. I've been there many times at this point.
Okay, I couldn't remember. So we're going to be back in Latrobe. If you guys have any interest in going with us or meeting us down there, feel free to reach out. Let us know. We don't know the dates yet. Last I checked, the dates were not announced until the preseason schedule comes out. So we're kind of waiting for that. But we are super excited for that. If anyone is interested in that whatsoever, please hit us up. If you're along the way, maybe James and I pick you up on the way. Who knows? We just look forward to hearing from you guys and maybe meeting some of you guys in person. So again, training camp to be held in Latrobe, when last year it was not, it was held specifically at Heinz Field. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Great opportunity. Really, you get a chance to get kind of close to the players. If you're interested in autographs, they do have, autograph sections, after the practice is over, where you can kind of line up where the players walk through, and not necessarily all of them stop, but usually a decent number of them stop, give from some autographs. So it's a nice way to get close, but you also can hear what's going on the field there in Latrobe. That's what's so awesome about it, is that the way it's built, it's kind of like a basin. So the practice field is down and there's hills on every side. So you can hear them interacting and saying, you know, hey, you go here on this route or go do that or whatever. Like, you can literally like yell out to somebody, hey, you know, whoever, TJ, you're the best. And like, they'll hear you.
They'll interact.
Sometimes they'll even like turn around and wave at you or say something back. It's really fun. I've had some interaction with some players over the years, and it's a lot of fun every time. So highly recommended if you've never done it before. If you want to hang out with us, like Cody said, we're always open to meeting people, saying hi, and talking Steelers football while we're down there. So,
oh, heck yeah.
Looking forward to that. And that's huge with it being back in Latrobe this year.
I may have even recently met a friend. Shout out to my guy, Carlin. May have met another Steelers friend who would be interested in joining us in something like that. So maybe that'll happen. We'll have to wait and see. But speaking of players, specifically players, Terrell Edmonds. Terrell Edmonds, the safety that I have been hard on since basically day two. I liked him at first, but I have been hard on him a lot because he's been a weak link on our defense, to put it politely. He's been a weak link. I think that's safe to say. I think that's not rude. I think that's not aggressive. I think he's been one of the weakest links on the defense, time and time again, with lack of tackling, lack of coverage ability. But he has a game where he has two interceptions, which there's not a whole lot of Steelers safeties that have that in their resume. So bravo to you, Terrell Edmonds. But signed a 1-year deal, $2.5 million deal, cheap. And that's why I'm okay with it.
Yeah. So this is a great deal for Pittsburgh, to be real. You know, as Cody suggested here, not that Terrell Edmonds was a bad player, because if he was a bad player, he would have been benched. But realistically, when you draft somebody in the first round, you expect them to not only be a starter throughout their career, but be good enough that you want to give them that second deal, and that it's a large deal and a long-term one. You want them to be good enough that they're getting nominations to the Pro Bowl, if not getting to the Pro Bowl. You kind of expect your first round pick to be a Pro Bowl. So when he falls short of that expectation, and then he goes into free agency and not only doesn't get the big contract, but you bring him back for a 1-year, $2.5 million deal, that kind of shows that the rest of the NFL didn't have an extremely high opinion of him either.
Yep.
I think he's a capable starter. He's a good 1 year stopgap for us to try to see if we can address that in the NFL draft this year, or if possibly in the NFL draft next year, if it doesn't play out appropriately for us to get the talent level guy that we're looking for in this upcoming draft class. So I like the deal, especially since if they would have given him the fifth year option, it would have cost almost $7 million for this year. Now we're only paying him $2.5 million. And when you talk about roster displacement, it only negatively impacts the salary cap by like $1.5 million. So that's great for another starter and somebody that, you know, at least knows the defense. Pretty reliable tackler, great against the run, good against tight ends, just not great when it comes to covering wide receivers and like spatial awareness and that sort of thing. So I think it's a good deal. I think it's a great signing. You at least have somebody that if the draft falls poorly for you and you don't get that safety that you want to start year one, not the end of the world. You're going to be okay.
Yeah, you got someone in there that knows the system, that understands the playbook. That's a benefit. And someone that you can at least rely on enough to know that they're going to understand. I think the knowledge, the playbook knowledge is probably the biggest benefit there, and a little bit of chemistry with the team already. And who knows, maybe he has a stellar year. Maybe this is the breakout year. Maybe he pulls a Bud Dupree and waits till his freaking last season, or like, you know, next to last season, whatever, depending on if they keep him again. But again, this does shout priority. And I believe James tweeted this from either his personal or our Steelers by League page. This shouts the priority for drafting a Steeler or a safety in the draft potentially. So be on the lookout for that. But speaking of draft, we are here to do James's mock draft. So we've done a mock draft live with you guys on the show. We've done a mock draft that was mine last episode. And now, 2 days before the draft, James, it's yours.
Yeah.
The pressure's on, James. This should be the most realistic one of all of them. This should just be...
This is it right here,
This
buddy.
Should be what happens IRL, in real life, if you didn't know what that means.
IRL, buddy.
IRL.
Like, all these are going to be exactly what happens.
I'm waiting. I have no idea what James did here, just so you all know. I have not a clue. He kind of talked to me a little bit, but like during when he was drafting, but he was like, a guy fell here that I might like. And I'm like, oh, I don't know who that is. So that's basically the knowledge that I have going into this. So super excited. I
tried to refrain from using names so that he wouldn't understand what was going on, but at least could hear my struggle trying to make decisions.
Yeah. So here we go.
So yeah, we're gonna walk you through this here, kind of similar. I love the way Cody did it last week with telling you guys players that went right before people he might have been possibly targeting in that area. So we're gonna do it a very similar way this week. So first round, to be 100% transparent, you're kind of just looking to see how does the draft board fall. Malik Willis went at 16 to the New Orleans Saints. So most people's quarterback number one off the board. On my list of people that I was strongly hoping would fall or would love for Pittsburgh to draft, number one, Zion Johnson, the guard out of Boston College. I absolutely love him, but the problem is Pittsburgh didn't go to the pro day there. At least not the appropriate people. You got to have Kevin Colbert. He didn't go. Number two, Trevor Penning, the offensive tackle from Northern Iowa. Absolute mauler in the run game. Very strong, big physical guy. Again, they didn't go to the pro day. At least Kevin Colbert did not. And also these guys, Zion Johnson went number 15 to the Eagles and Trevor Penning 19 to the Saints. So all three of those guys off the board when I picked. Also very notable, I would say, Jordan Davis went to the Baltimore Ravens. You'd never guess that, right, Cody?
That's what we don't want to happen. We don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Very interesting, too, in this particular mock draft. Number three overall to the Houston Texans went Sauce Gardner. And number four, cornerback Derek Stingley Jr. So right out of the gate, wow. Two of the top corners were gone. So there I am sitting at number 20. And at 18, also Trent McDuffie, the corner out of Washington, went to the Eagles.
Wow.
So three corners are gone. Malik Willis is gone. The offensive lineman I would have been tempted to get are gone. I'm extremely tempted by the safety position. In fact, I really would love to draft this guy right here. Jaquan Brisker out of Penn State. I love his game. Pittsburgh went to the pro day in force, but not with Kevin Colbert. So he's definitely in the mix as far as a round two guy, but I don't think he's going to make it the round two. So that's the mixed bag there. I'd love to draft a guy like that. I think he starts as strong safety day one if you do it. Also, Lewis Seen out of Georgia, it was. Incredible safety. If you're going to get him, you got to take him there. But the way this board fell, one thing that I did notice is a player by the name of Andrew Booth Jr., the corner out of Clemson, most people's second or third best corner in this entire draft class, was still sitting there. He fits the mold. He's 6 foot and a half, 194 pounds, 31 and a quarter inch long arms, so he just barely hits the threshold. And the key here is this young man was unable to compete at both the combine and his pro day due to an injury, a core injury that he had last year. So he's still recovering from that. If that sounds familiar, kind of similar thing to what happened to Heath Miller when Pittsburgh drafted him in the first round. He was unable to compete in the pro day and the combine, any of that, because he was coming off of a sports hernia surgery. Pittsburgh's not scared of guys that aren't able to test. If your tape's really good, they're interested. Colbert was there at the pro day at Clemson. I took Andrew Booth Jr. in the first round and got us a shutdown corner for the next 10 plus years. Just like that.
Okay. That's intriguing. I wouldn't have expected corner with especially Sauce off the board. Or, I mean, Sauce is no way going to fall to 20, but that's who I want.
I know. Number three overall, I was stunned, but he's really that good.
He is. Wow. No, I agree. If it fits the mold, tape speaks louder than stats sometimes. We talked about it all the time. You know, Antonio Brown ran a 4.5 or something. He's faster.
Yeah, it was like a 4.55.
He's faster than that on the field. Game day's different, and people perform differently on stages like that in different times and blah 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 whatever. Interesting. I don't dislike the pick. I like getting a corner, especially with how bad our secondary has been as of recent, the recent years, and solidifying that room up, the cornerback room. I mean, you think about it. You got Levi Wallace would then be the third guy up, if not fourth. Behind Cam Sutton, Nikhil Witherspoon, and then obviously this rookie coming in. I like that pick. That solidifies the depth at cornerback instantly, because then you also have Justin Lane. You have, Arthur Maulet. Those guys are all available or are on the team still, technically. And we'll have to see what happens. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how round one played out for me. As I feared, the safety room got absolutely annihilated shortly thereafter. Dax Hill got drafted, Lewis Seen at the beginning of the second round. Jaquan Brisker went number 36 overall. So if Pittsburgh wants him, they are going to have to take him in the first round, most likely. But as we get a little bit closer to the Steelers' next pick here, all the way down to number 52 at 51... Jalen Petrie, the safety out of Baylor, went. So we missed the next available, like, top-tier safety by one spot. Dang. There. Yeah, one. also, Travis Jones, the very dominant defensive lineman out of UConn, was taken at 46.
Would you have wanted him, though? Because we talked about only a handful of defensive linemen that we would have actually wanted. Would you have wanted him?
There's only two in the second round I'll consider. He's one. The other one's Perrion Winfrey. And the reason we're going to bring Perrion Winfrey up again is because he was available at this pick. I passed on it because we did that already in our live mock draft, and I do want to have some different names introduced here. So... at this spot here, what we had available to us, wide receiver George Pickens out of Georgia, who I absolutely love and would be ecstatic if the Steelers drafted. Mm-hmm. Chad Muma, middle linebacker out of Wyoming, who could be an upgrade right out of the gate. Interior offensive lineman Jamaree Sawyer out of Georgia, played tackle and guard while at Georgia and played it quite well. So So he would be probably an upgrade right out the gate. And there's, you know, a few other players available here as well. What I decided to do with the 52nd pick is a player that I've been pretty high on since watching his game against Liberty during the college season. That's quarterback Matt Corral out of Ole Miss. I feel that the skill level there with Matt Corral is pretty dang high. And if he was a little taller, we'd be talking about him in the first round. But he's 6'1", 212, and people think maybe that's a little too small. I'll tell you what isn't small. It's his arm. That's his ability to lead a team and his accuracy and his deep ball. Kid's got an impressive ability, and he's a pretty mobile guy to boot. He's no Lamar Jackson type, but he is somebody that can scoot. He can get out there. So I went with Matt Corral in the second round as our quarterback of the future, sitting there for the new Pittsburgh Steelers franchise. So how do you feel about that, Cody?
I like it because I do think that Pittsburgh is going to leave this draft with a quarterback. One way or another, they're leaving this draft with a quarterback. I see it happening in the first three rounds. I don't see them drafting anybody later than that. I like the pick. I struggle because I'm sitting at the, in my head, I'm sitting at the whole, if you don't go get your guy in the first round,
how much do you really like him?
Exactly. So with that being said, the fact that they, in this scenario, they don't, I mean, we couldn't trade up in this draft in the mock. I'm intrigued to say the least, and I would be very, like I said, I expect to get a quarterback in the first three rounds. I expect this. Corral is somebody that I haven't seen a whole lot of gameplay of to be able to judge how I personally feel about him. But I trust you, and we've talked, knowing the number of players that we've talked about over the course of this 3 years, doing this podcast together, I trust that Matt Corral's arm is there, and I'm excited to get a quarterback in the room and a quarterback that can compete during, you know, rookie training camp, or rookie mini camp, whatever the frick you want to call it. But super excited to get a quarterback.
Yeah, I think it'd be one that, that Pittsburgh would do very well with. Personally, I like him. I like his game.
As long as the team corrals around him. Round. Right? The team needs the team needs to corral around him. You know what I'm saying?
There it is, man. If we're ever going to circle the wagons of the Buffalo Bills, we need somebody to corral them. So here we go.
I like it. I like it.
So third round. Some guys that went right before our pick were at number 84 overall, Pittsburgh's natural pick. Right before at 83, your boy Sam Williams, the edge rusher out of Ole Miss. So we lost out on Sam. Safety Brian Cook went at 82 from Cincinnati.
Good safety. That entire secondary is good.
Yeah. Yeah, all of them. It's stupid, man.
Yep.
Wide receiver Calvin Austin, also Nick Benito, the edge out of Oklahoma, went to the Chargers at 79. So we saw some good talent go right in front of Pittsburgh there. What was available at this time, cornerback Kobe Bryant out of Cincinnati, edge Drake Jackson, wide receiver Wandale Robinson was available, tight end Greg Dulcich, who is a very athletic tight end out of UCLA, also wide receiver Alec Pierce, again, super athletic dude, and Jelani Woods was available there also. The decision I made was to get my safety. This is somebody that I was very high on through this pre-draft process. Did get a chance to see him play in one of the all-star games, and he really looked the part, and honestly, he looks ripped up like a friggin' running back, but he's a strong safety. Nick Cross out of Maryland. He's 6 foot, 212 pounds. All he did when he showed up to the combine was run a 4.3 4.40 with a 37-inch vert and a 10-foot, 10-inch broad. So extremely explosive and athletic player with some good instincts. And Tomlin loves drafting guys out of Maryland. He's got an obsession with Maryland, especially the last probably 4 or 5 years here. So this is somebody that I really like the way I saw him play. Real hard hitter, fantastic athleticism scores. Let's get him with some coaching and see what we can do development-wise. could be a future guy that we could maybe develop into a starter that's a higher level guy than what we ever had with Terrell Edmonds. I mean, Terrell Edmonds was a very athletic guy, but this is a whole nother story when you're talking about a 4.3, 4.40 guy. So somebody I was kind of hoping to target in the third round, and he fell to me, and I couldn't, I knew I couldn't wait till the fourth round. And there's no way he would have been there.
Yeah, it's true. I don't think he would have been either. And I like the pick. I like that solidifies the secondary as a whole. Not just the defensive back, or not just the cornerback room, but it solidifies the secondary. And on a team that if Tyson Alualu and Stephon Tuitt are both able to come back and play up to the level that is expected of them, or that they played recently, the front seven mixed with those back guys is going to be something that I would think would be interesting, with Miles Jack and then Devin Bush, to see if he can come back in and play. You still have Robert Spillane, TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith on the edge, and then Cam Hayward. I mean, this team could turn into something crazy on the defensive side of the ball, especially solidifying that secondary, which you just did in the first three rounds of the draft. So I'm very intrigued by that. I like that. That's very defensive heavy, which I didn't expect, but I like it.
I feel like that's kind of important that Pittsburgh does this and goes heavily on the defensive side, just because they went so heavy on the offensive side last year.
Yep.
You know, you got your running back of the future. You got your starting tight end. You got an offensive tackle that's now playing left tackle. You drafted a center slash guard that was sort of trying to figure out, is he going to work? Is he not going to work? That looks like the only miss out of that group in the first four rounds. But you solidified a lot of positions there. Now it's time to give some love to the other side of the ball, right?
Yep.
We got to make sure that when our current superstars start getting old, there's some guys that can take over. So I feel very strongly that that's an important thing to reload this year on the defensive side of the ball.
I like it. I like it a lot.
So fourth round. Now this is pick 138. It's a pretty far wait from that pick in the third round. This is a compensatory pick, which is why it's all the way back at 138. Some players that went right before this pick. There's going to be some names that some of you folks have heard of before. One that I would have considered had I not already taken that position at 137, one pick previously before this pick. Carson Strong, the quarterback out of Nevada, went to the Carolina Panthers. So he missed out on Carson Strong, unfortunately. Tight end Chigozie Okonkwo went at 136. Offensive tackle Rashid Walker of Penn State went at 135.
Okay.
And then Tyson Chandler, the running back from North Carolina that looked so good at the Shrine game, went at 133. So we did see a number of pretty decent names go right in front of this pick. Now, guys that were available at this time. Wide receivers, we've got Tyquan Thornton, the super speedy wide receiver. Danny Gray, another wide receiver, some good speed. Also Tyrese Robinson, an interior offensive lineman. And Hassan Haskins out of Michigan, running back that Pittsburgh has definitely been rumored to be interested in. Now, if you ask me, out of the priorities of what Pittsburgh needs to address, wide receiver is something that needs to still be prioritized in this draft, which is why I went with SMU wide receiver Danny Gray in the fourth round. This gives us another guy who can play inside or outside. He's 5'11 and 7'8", so darn near 6 foot tall, 186 pounds, and a 4.33 40-yard dash. So another field stretcher, extreme speed, good productivity. We did send people to the pro day to watch. So there's definitely some interest from the Steelers organization in wide receiver Danny Gray. And I felt like this is a too good of a fit to pass up on at this point. They need to bolster that wide receiver room. You got a lot of expiring contracts in the next couple of years. And I wanted to make sure I prioritized that in the first four picks. And I feel like Danny Gray would be a great fit in the black and gold.
I like it. I don't necessarily love it, but I do like it. And I'll tell you why.
All right.
I do predict that I highly think that Pittsburgh's still going to get a wide receiver. However, I think with the addition of Miles Boykin, this might be, in my opinion, too high of a a draft pick to go that way. When you see that they've picked wide receivers up in the fifth and sixth in previous drafts, and I don't remember exactly which players, but also they didn't draft a wide receiver last year. They had an undrafted guy, Enrico Bussi Jr., someone that I took in my mock draft last year. I would be surprised if they went this entire draft without drafting a wide receiver. I just don't know if they go fourth round. But at the same time, I agree with you earlier. If George Pickens was there at round two, it's hard to pass that up.
Yeah.
So I say this about round four, but knowing in my head that if George Pickens is available round two, I hope they draft him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's very tricky. But again, Danny Gray is a guy that you could potentially, you know, could potentially take over some punt return coverage and stuff like that. We obviously,
and he could easily play the same position as Deontay Johnson. So if you end up in a stalemate with him in contract negotiations and Deontay just doesn't want to sign for what you want to pay him, you can move on.
That's fair. I guess the contract negotiation aspect of that is the one area that I'm kind of ignoring, which I know you can't. You can't ignore that. But yeah, because he could very well choose to sit out. He could pull Le'Veon Bell and sit out for a year. So who
that's
knows?
My big thing with this is, like, I feel like with losing three wide receivers from last year, bringing in Miles Boykin helps the room, but it doesn't change that there's still not a slot wide receiver on the team right now.
Yep. I like that.
So I feel like you need to be able to bring somebody in that can play slot and preferably right out of the gate. And that's kind of why I feel like they really need to prioritize it early on. Because either you need to move Chase Claypool into the slot, you need to hope that you can teach Miles Boykin how to play slot, which he hasn't done before, or you're going to take your most dynamic receiver in Deontay Johnson and then pigeonhole him into the slot and get him beat up by linebackers.
Yeah.
So I would rather kind of prioritize it, get somebody in there, and see what we can do with some slightly higher talent. I just worry that, you know, you take somebody sixth, seventh round, and they crap out, and then you're kind of really up a creek.
Yeah. Yeah, we're already kind of up a creek in the wide receiver room. I get it.
I worry about all the expiring contracts, Cody. That's my concern.
That's fair. We saw what happened with Ray Ray and James Washington, and so.
And Juju, all gone in the same offseason.
Yeah. So
the wide receiver room got devastated
a little bit. All right. Next pick, baby. Let's go.
Long, long wait from 138 down to 208. We're now in the sixth round. So that means a lot of guys went between then and now. I don't know that there's going to be any that really stick out to any of folks as a name that's going to really, really move one way or another as far as your opinions on things. But what I felt like at this stage, it would be a good idea to address a developmental position. I do feel like Pittsburgh needs to address the offensive tackle depth. We're very short there right now. We've got starters in place, and we have one swing guy in place, and nobody young to develop behind either guy. So what I decided to do is take offensive tackle Max Mitchell out of Louisiana, a good height, size, weight, feed prospect guy, 6'6", 307, 33.5-inch long arms. So good height, weights, and length. Somebody that you can work with and try to use on either side and just see what you get in them. Pittsburgh does seem to have a little bit of luck with third and fourth round guys at offensive tackle. Let's try a sixth round guy and see if we can develop him.
I like it. So who was that?
Max Mitchell out of Louisiana.
Max Mitchell. Yeah. I don't have anything to say about this pick, quite frankly.
It's tough when you get in the later
rounds,
man.
It's very tough.
It's tough to know a lot about these guys. It's tough to really have any positive or negative input on them.
Yeah, I think the important for that pick is specifically depth. I think that's that's the key to that one. And again, you were right last year on two picks, and this could be one that I'm not sure about. You were right with the Presley Harvin and Pat Freiermuth, which Pat Freiermuth I knew about, but Presley Harvin was more
I think a lot of people picked Pat Freiermuth. That wasn't the only one. I was big on getting a punter last year. I definitely thought that was going to happen.
Well, I like it. Who came off before that? That was close. Anybody?
Right beforehand, let me roll back to it real quick here. I moved on already.
No, that's okay.
Previous to it, Dustin Crum, a quarterback out of Kent State. Yeah. Mike Harley, a wide receiver from Miami. Zachary Thomas, interior offensive lineman out of San Diego State. Amari Carter, safety from Miami. Jalen Weidermeyer, probably the only name that really sounds real familiar to me, out of, tight end out of Texas A&M. I think he was in the Shrine game.
Yeah.
So.
I like it. Okay. I'm ready for your next one.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
All right. Let me jump back into the seventh round here and give you guys a little insight as to what's going on. At this point, I'm just trying to fill positions and try to find developmental guys that maybe have caught my eye or maybe I know a little bit about. So in the seventh round with the first pick, which is number 225 for Pittsburgh, I went with a tight end that I do remember from one of the bowl games. I believe he was in the Shrine game. Grant Calcaterra, tight end out of SMU. So I went back to SMU, brings us two skill guys, a wide receiver and a tight end out of SMU. A move tight end. He's 6'4", 241, pretty dang athletic dude. Ran a 4.6, 240, which is pretty good for a tight end. That's one of the fastest tight ends in this draft class. So somebody that you could work with, has the skills to move around, get some separation. 33 and a quarter inch long arm, so he's got decent length there too, to give you a good wide target. I think that developmental tight end is a low-key thing that Pittsburgh should be looking at, just because Zach Gentry, going into the last year of his rookie deal, are you going to extend him after this year? I kind of hope he gets a moderate deal just because he played real well last year. Yeah. But if he doesn't, you know, who's your tight end three? Who's going to be the tight end for 2024? If you draft a guy, this gives you somebody to work on, kind of a contingency plan in case things don't go well with trying to retain Zach Gentry on a moderate deal. So I'm trying to bolster that room, add a little extra competition, and somebody with some high athleticism is always something I'm looking for in a late pick.
Fair. I think solidifying that tight end room, we talked about it before. I mean, that's the same reason we'd go for Jelani Woods. That's the same reason we'd draft any tight end in this draft. I think that drafting a tight end is important in this draft. And it's weird because I said this about the quarterback, which I think is a little bit more of a dire need, but a bigger need than the tight end specifically. But I feel like it's also, and I said it about wide receiver too. I feel like it's hard to see Pittsburgh go through this draft without drafting a tight end.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think it's a lot lower down on the priority list. But if a guy like Jelani Woods falls to you in the fourth, I feel like you really kind of got to take a stab at him. I just think it's going to be difficult to get a highly sought after dude in the first four rounds, because then you're shorting yourself somewhere else, you know.
You are.
Like one thing that you may have noticed, I'm going to get into the last pick here real quick, is that I haven't addressed the edge position yet. So I didn't add any competition for the edge guys. That's an issue. You know, we do need to have some good skill guys in that edge department and backups that can come in and not look out of place. So when you get to the seventh round and there's a position that's a fairly important position and you haven't addressed it yet, it's tough, man. You really feel like you need three or four more picks to hit all of these.
Yeah.
Seventh round, last pick, the compensatory pick for Pittsburgh. No, this is just their regular pick. The other one was one from a trade. So what I did do was address the edge position. Went to Coastal Carolina and drafted Jeffrey Gunter.
Ooh.
Jeffrey Gunter was at the combine, 6'4", 258, ran a 4.7 40, and has 33-inch long arms and some decent production while he was in college. So this is a developmental guy. You don't necessarily expect him to unseat Alex Highsmith at any point in time in his career, but he can help you out on special teams. He's athletic enough for that, good length. Good size, and I like the Steelers' ability to develop some edge guys. So this will give you a little competition in the room, help out with some special teams as well. So just, again, looking for lumps of clay later in the in the draft here. I would have loved to have drafted Quentin Lake, just prioritizing safety earlier. I couldn't justify it. I would have loved to have drafted Connor Hayward, but Cody did last week, and I don't want to bore you guys to death with that again. and then Mike Vrabel's kid, too, Tyler Vrabel, would have been an offensive tackle choice I would have considered in the seventh round had I not got somebody I had a higher opinion of in Max Mitchell in the sixth round. So those are all guys that we both feel you should keep your ears open for that could very easily be Pittsburgh Steelers. Just my mock fell a little bit differently.
It did. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to say something. This is my bold prediction. I don't think this guy's going to be available at this pick. I think I've seen some things on him recently, looking up through late mock drafts and like later round stuff. I think that he could be gone potentially. I think that he is exactly what you're discussing as a lump of clay. I think he's, I was shook because I didn't expect you to say somebody that I actually knew. I expected it to be either the Quentin Lake, Connor Hayward, somebody like that, or somebody was just so random that I wouldn't have known who it was. And this name I heard recently and looked up some film, and there was some production there. There's some ability. Yeah. There's some natural like physical abilities that you can't teach. So that one's actually really intriguing to me, and I would love to have him, not going to lie, as a seventh round pick, as a last round pick. Or the last pick that we have either.
I feel like you'd have a decent chance of making the team too.
Oh,
and you
very
want
decent.
To draft people late that would actually have a chance of making the team. Yeah. I don't want to see another Quincy Roche like last year where we draft a guy in the sixth round, can't find room for him on the roster, try to sneak him on the practice squad, and then somebody poaches him. Like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I like the draft. So go again from first round to the last pick. Give these to us again.
First round, cornerback Andrew Booth out of Clemson. Second round, quarterback Matt Corral out of Ole Miss. In the third round, strong safety Nick Cross out of Maryland. He's got biceps bigger than my head, trust me. Wide receiver Danny Gray in the fourth round. Offensive tackle Max Mitchell in the sixth round with the first seventh round pick. Tight end Grant Calcaterra in the seventh round. Edge rusher Jeffrey Gunter, who would be an outside linebacker in Pittsburgh's scheme.
Okay, so I think the only thing that I will say that's intriguing about this, but I also don't disagree with because of the offseason moves that we've had, is you didn't address the linebacker position, the off-ball linebacker position.
Yeah.
But again, with the addition of Miles Jack, that's less of a priority now. You kind of know what you have in Robert Spillane, which is a solid backup, someone capable to play a game or two at starting if they needed to. Devin Bush is the big question mark right now, and Miles Jack should be a fitting piece to you know, help Devin Bush mature, help Devin Bush understand the offense or the defense maybe even a little bit more with his he's a veteran. He's played more than Bush. So middle linebacker was the only position that I kind of expected you to address that you didn't, but I also understand why you didn't. So
I couldn't get it high. I just kind of shoved it off to the side, man.
Yep.
Cause I feel like that's a position that, if you're going to take a middle linebacker in this draft, you kind of need to do one in the first four rounds because that's where you're going to get a high enough skill level guy to actually push Devin Bush, to push Robert Spillane.
And I think to if you bump Buddy Johnson off. Like
if you're going to bump Buddy Johnson off, it needs to be somebody drafted at least as high, if not higher than him. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Yep. And we don't need to keep six middle linebackers again next year just because they can't figure out which one of them is good enough to actually be the backup and who might possibly develop. Like, I'm kind of sick of them playing that game with that. Let's just keep the best four and move on. Like, this should be pretty easy this year. Yep. It's Miles Jack, Devin Bush, Robert Spillane, Buddy Johnson. The rest of the guys, you had your chance. Sorry.
Yeah, unfortunately, Marcus Allen didn't work out, you know.
Yeah, and UG3 too, man. Yep. Like, he showed some great film early on and then just couldn't put it together the last couple of years, man. So
yeah, very unfortunate.
Maybe you keep him on the practice squad if you can, but I'm kind of over the Marcus Allen experiment.
Yeah. So again, we can't thank you guys enough for listening and joining us, whether you watched on YouTube or if you listened on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any of those places. Again, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, James loves those 5-star reviews. If you write a review, he'll shout you out, read it on the pod, be super excited. Look at him wave his terrible towel. again, thank you guys so much. Be sure to go and like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. And until next time, This is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.